All right, back talking a little football, Baylor in Big 12 style. I'm Bryce Cherry alongside John Werner and the hat-wearing Jason Ortz. And Chris Oliver is here as well, making it all sound so beautiful. guys, Baylor won again on Saturday, beat Iowa State 45-27, but the Bears also lost. See what I did there. Late in the game, Seth Russell suffered a neck injury that will cost him the rest of the season. Bad news for the Bears, but now they hand the steering wheel to true freshman Jarrett Stidham, and this is entering the arguably their toughest stretch of games of the season. Is Stidham ready?
I think he is ready. He's one of the more confident freshmen I've ever seen.
What about Robert Griffin? He was pretty confident.
Yeah. Well, he may not quite be an RG3's level of confidence, but he's pretty close. But, you know, he's hit 24 of 28 passes so far, 6 touchdowns. He's looked very good when he's come in. Of course, this will be a much different situation. He's come in mop-up time with the starters out. So, you know, we'll see. And, gosh, what a tough test. Even though K-State's lost 4 straight games, that's a very hard place to play. Bill Snyder's one of the best coaches in the country, so he'll have something cooked up for Jarrett.
Yeah, John, you were talking, this is the 7th quarterback that's played, you know, started a game for Bryles, and we were looking back at those games. Most of them, obviously, you know, easy games kind of at the beginning of the season. This is probably the toughest yet for a guy to walk into.
Before I say anything about Jarrett Stidham, I want to know about this beautiful voices thing that you were talking about. Is Chris auto-tuning this thing or something? Because I've heard our voices, and there's a reason we're in print journalism.
That's a good point.
But anyway, I don't know if anybody really knows whether Stidham's ready. I think, you know, we think that we do because he's come out and he's played a little bit. You know, and at least he has played a little bit. I think that was very important to him, that he has at least had a little bit of experience. It's not like they're having to pull the red shirt off him or anything like that and make him just, you know, go out there for the first time. But, you know, the biggest thing for him is the guys around him. You know, he's got Shaq Linwood in the backfield. He's got Corey Coleman on the outside. He just needs to get rid of the ball, get it to his playmakers, and let them do the rest. I mean, it's not like he has to carry a huge load, really.
Let's face it, this is why they made him the backup quarterback. I mean, to get him ready in case of emergency. And now they're breaking the glass and they're pulling him out, and it's time. I mean, that emergency is here. It really stinks for Seth Russell. He was playing about as well, I think, as any quarterback in the country. The numbers certainly bear that out. But, you know, Russell is a guy, as you said, he's very, very talented, very confident, poised. It was funny when we were talking to Lynx Hawthorne today, one of the Baylor receivers. He didn't even realize that Stidham was a teenager. You know, we were like, no, really? I mean, he's 19 years old. I mean, he was like, nothing about that guy screams teenager. I mean, obviously he's a little poised beyond his years, but he's about to get thrown into the fire in a big way. I mean, these are obviously Baylor's toughest games coming up, and you know, he's going to have to learn quickly on the fly. I mean, it's not an ideal situation to get put into.
Yeah, I mean, K-State, that might be the easiest game in November,
right,
in Manhattan. I mean, after that, you got OU at home, and then you go to OSU and TCU.
Right.
That's 3 ranked teams in a row, and that would have tested, you know, somebody like Seth Russell, too.
Right.
But, yeah, that is definitely being thrown into the fire.
Even before Russell went out in that game, the Bears hit kind of an offensive lull against the Cyclones. They had 6 straight possessions without points. I mean, it was like, you know, who is this? Is that a sign of mortality from this Baylor offense, and is it something that the Bears should be concerned about?
I'm not going to say overly concerned, because if you remember in the first 2 games, SMU and Lamar, they had bad second quarters. Mm-hmm. The offense was just kind of off in those quarters. I think Seth had a combined 4 interceptions in those 2 games. So they've had a few off moments. But, you know, we'll see, you know, with Stidham in there, if if the offense is a little more inconsistent.
No.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. But no, I really don't think so. I mean, obviously, yeah, six possessions, that can be a pretty decent chunk of the game. But, you know, let's say they score on the other, you know, eight or nine they have, you know, which is basically what they've done even when they've had these lulls. They've still, you know, found a ways to score plenty of points. And, you know, like I talked about, I think with Stidham in there, I think that might actually not necessarily rejuvenate the offense a little bit, but I think it might, you know, kind of – I guess heighten the awareness of all the guys around them that they need to do their part a little bit better, and you know, especially the offensive line, you know, block for those guys a little bit better, and you know, give Shock a little bit more room to run and that kind of stuff. I think it's probably actually going to motivate them a little bit. I don't think it's anything to worry about.
You know, the team actually talked about just what you were saying there, Jason, today. I mean, Drango said, you know, we've got to put Stidham in, you know, as easy a situation as we can, make it as easy for him as possible. Obviously it's not going to be easy, but you know, basically I think all of those guys, those veteran guys, are kind of taking it on themselves to, you know, like Jason said, sort of fine tune their focus a little bit. And the other thing about the other day, you know, it was a gully washer for a while. I mean, you know, it was kind of weird. They actually did better when it was raining, you know, and then it sort of stopped at halftime, and that was kind of when they really went into their lull. But I do think Russell's passes, certainly when he was in the game, were affected by the wet ball. I mean, it wasn't an ideal day for you know, offensive football, and they tapped the brakes and they still score 45 points. So, you know, I'm with you, John. Mild concern maybe, but probably nothing to really start, you know, for Baylor fans to start wringing their hands about or anything. Let's look at the rest of the Big 12. A couple weeks ago, Oklahoma State traveled to West Virginia. We sat here, broke that game down. We all thought West Virginia would win, but the Cowboys won in overtime. Now they will go to Lubbock and look to try to escape with another road victory. Do they get it done?
I'm going to go against the old Cowboys.
Okay.
This time.
How about them Cowboys?
I think they've been very fortunate. Now, you know, you kind of make your own luck. But they beat Texas, West Virginia, and K-State by a combined 12 points. Mm-hmm. And a couple of those games went right down to the wire. So I don't know. I think they've kind of had their share of fortune so far this year. And I think the Red Raiders are really going to be fired up for that game in Lubbock, and I think they're going to be ready.
What about you, Jason?
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Strange things happen in Lubbock, Texas. It seems like at least once a year somebody goes out there with a pretty high ranking, or you know, somebody that maybe we think should probably on paper beat Tech, and Tech ends up winning that game. What time is that game going to be played? Is that a night game? Because if that's a night game, obviously that adds something to the atmosphere. I should have checked that before we came in here. But you know, obviously with Texas Tech, you know, Pat Mahomes is as good of a quarterback as there is in the Big 12, especially with Seth Russell hurt. You know, and Trevon Boykin obviously is in that class as well. But you know, I think he's, you know, he's the catalyst for that offense. I think if he has a good day, they can, you know, put points up on anybody. And I think that, you know, Oklahoma State hasn't necessarily, you know, scored a ton of points in a bunch of those games. And like John said, they've been forced to play a lot of really close games, which can help you in a situation like this where it should be another close game. But I think Tech's going to end up pulling that one out.
I tend to think everything that you guys said is accurate. I do think Mahomes is playing phenomenally. I think Tech will be fired up. It's not an easy place to go win a game. But like Sir Mix-a-Lot, I like big butts, and I cannot lie. And so my butt here is that. Excuse me.
We need like a drop for that. We need Chris to get on that, I think.
Yes, how about some music? That'd be awesome. My butt is this. Oklahoma State is leading the Big 12 in total defense. Tech, we know what kind of defense they have. It's still pretty shaky. I think they're ninth in the league in total defense. The game probably shapes up as a shootout. I mean, you know, that's kind of what these teams, a lot of the teams in the Big 12 are built to do. And I just feel like maybe Oklahoma State is built to get the one or two stops that they might need to win that game. I mean, they obviously proved they could do that in Morgantown. It won't be easy, and I wouldn't be shocked to see Tech win at all, but I'm going with the Cowboys to stay undefeated. So, you know, I'm kind of a contrarian anyway, but this week, the Big 12 players of the week were Samaje Perine of Oklahoma on offense and Sean Oakman of Baylor on defense. And to me, these are two guys that really weren't living up maybe to their very high expectations. I mean, going into the season, Oakman was the preseason Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Perine was certainly all Big 12 preseason. So perhaps maybe they're starting to get it together a little bit better. My question is this. Obviously, they play on different sides of the ball, but who is more important to his team the rest of the way? Is it Perine or is it Oakman?
Boy, that is a tough question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Perine because he gets the ball more. I think, you know, he's just involved in more key plays. You know, Oakman, you know, they want a big play from him now and then. I don't think they're counting on him to, you know, just be making big plays all the time. But Perine, gosh, he was the best running back in the Big 12 last year, yeah. One of the best in the country.
He was a force.
Yeah, and I think the deal with him, they just hadn't been calling his number, you know, until last week. And to me, that's really baffling.
Yeah, that is, hello, you know, I mean, yeah. You know, give that guy the ball.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they changed offensive coordinators. But gosh, if you got a stud like that back there, you got to give him the ball.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's what you call a bell cow.
I'm going to actually disagree with John. I can't believe I'm saying those words because he's my boy over here. But I'm going to go with Sean Oakman. I just think that, especially with everything that's going on, you know, we've talked about everybody kind of needing to lift their game on the offensive side of the ball. I think the defense does as well. You know, I think it might be a situation where there's going to be a game down the road where Baylor might hit one of these lulls again offensively, and you might need that defense to really step up and you know, keep team or hold teams down offensively on the other side. So I just think that, you know, Oakman is a guy that has the ability to take over a game when he wants to. And I don't think we've really seen that enough this year, especially the want to part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, he is kind of known as a guy who will take a player or two off here. You know, doesn't necessarily always give the best effort. And especially if Andrew Billings is going to be out for any extended amount of time. He's supposed to be back, but he might still be a little gimpy. You know, you just kind of want him to pick up the slack and you know, help out while Billings is trying to get healthy again and help that defense just slow opponents down.
So I guess that makes me the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I agree again with the sound logic that both of you put out there. I am going with John here. I'm saying Perine only because you know, like you said, they kind of finally got him more involved in the offense, and they looked really good against Texas Tech last week. I mean, it seemed like they were the OU team that maybe we thought we would see. You know, to me, that Texas game is looking more and more like just an aberration. If yeah. they can continue to feed Perine the ball, I think, you know, OU could be really scary. Now, I do think Oakman plays a really key role for Baylor. But as you said, I mean, they have other guys to make plays. Billings will be coming back. I thought Oakman was big the other day.
He played well. Yeah.
I thought the defense really stepped up in a game where it needed to, because like I said, you know, Baylor did kind of hit a lull there, and it needed the defense to get some stops. And Oakman had I remember one time on one possession for the Cyclones where he had two big plays in a row. I think it was a sack and a tip or something like that. So that's what they need out of that guy. But yeah, I'm going to go with Perine just maybe by a very slight margin. So my last little curveball for you guys here is next Tuesday, is the first college football playoff rankings, the release of those. You know, the top four is really what everybody looks to. I mean, you know, they'll look at the rest of the rankings too, but that top four, you know, those are the ones at the end of the year that'll get in. So my question is, who's your four?
Okay.
You're on the committee.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Ohio State first. Mm-hmm. They'll get a lot of respect because they're defending champs. They're undefeated. I'm going to say they're going to put LSU second.
Okay.
And one reason is because they're in the SEC.
Right. SEC bias.
Yes. And, you know, they'll get a lot of respect whether they deserve to be that high or not. And but they have played pretty darn well.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say Baylor's third,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to have Clemson fourth.
Okay. That's a pretty good four.
I'm going to agree with John on the top three. I have a different reason for thinking that LSU will be over Baylor, but and I think it's just because with Seth Russell being out, you know, it has to knock Baylor down a notch or two. You know, you kind of – just because of the unknown, until you see what Stidham's going to do, I don't think you want to have him up necessarily up at number two. I don't think – you know, without obviously with Seth Russell, I think you could definitely have him as the number two team in the country. I would say Ohio State definitely one. I would have had Baylor two, but I'm going to say Baylor three. Put LSU at two, and then I'm going to put TCU at four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have two Big 12 teams. Kind of honestly, if I'm on the committee, I'm going to have a sense of humor about this,
right?
And I'm going to give the nod to the Big 12 for now, and just say, well, guess what, guys? Y'all are going to play at the end of the year. One of you two is going to knock each other out, so. You guys can go ahead and just settle that argument then, and you know we'll go ahead and put you in there for now. That way you can kind of, you know, shut up about how bad we are, and then you know you can knock each other out at the end. But for now, we're going to stick both of you in there.
I kind of like Jason's thinking here. I think that probably would be the way I would go. Baylor, LSU, Ohio State first, and then probably LSU, Baylor, and TCU. It's going to be interesting to me to see whether Clemson gets ranked ahead of Stanford. Stanford has a loss already. Clemson's still undefeated. But I think, you know, the thinking is that the Pac-12, even though it's possibly down this year, probably still better than the ACC. I mean,
oh, yeah.
So I do think that for the ACC to get in there, they're going to have an undefeated team, just like it was last year with Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think that's going to have to be the case with the Big 12, too.
And that, to me, stinks because the Big 12 team, I mean, the Big 12 is, I'd say, the second best conference. Maybe the Big 10 to the SEC, but I don't know. I mean, I think the Big 12 kind of gets the shaft a lot of times. Obviously, it got the shaft last year.
Oh, yeah.
Still a lot of people not too happy about that.